I believe that all of us fall victim to anxiety at some time. Many times it's because of money issues. Sometimes new parents experience a lot of anxiety with their children. And anxiety is something that tears at our very being. It keeps us up at night, consumes our thoughts, causes stress and various physical problems. But, question, are there any benefits of worry? Well, it depends on who you are and who's asking the question. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, where we just had our reading by Brother Romero, we're told to cast all of our cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Now, this, of course, is something that should allay our fears and something that should take away the anxieties that we have. But notice in that same passage in verse 8, he says that the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Anxiety is actually a direct attack from Satan. Instead of casting our anxiety or cares on him, he wants us to experience every bit of it and for it to just actually disable us if possible. In fact, Satan really thinks worry is one of the most wonderful things that there can be. For instance, from Satan's viewpoint, now, I'm taking Satan's viewpoint now, it paralyzes Christians and makes them totally ineffective. It is something that draws them into sin and distracts them from working for the Lord. In a study at a university, the university study found that 40% of worry is about things that never happen. Think of that. 40% of the things people worry about never, ever happen. 30% are about things in the past or things that cannot be changed. And 22% are about petty, needless things. And you say, well, that's not 100% yet. No. 8% were legitimate concerns. Think about that. 8% were legitimate concerns. It doesn't have to be any scientific study to know that we all are going to be victims of Satan's ploy when it comes to anxiety at some time. But by studying worry from Satan's point of view, we may be better prepared to fight against it. Now, I want to note with you here some beneficial characteristics of worry. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither spin nor toil. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Now listen to this last part. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, Satan studied this pretty carefully, and he's figured that he can get around this by causing you to lose focus on what comes first. And he can easily sway you to worry about your food or worry about your clothing or worry about all these things that are insignificant, really. But mainly, Satan tries to pervert what God says by human reason. For instance, he directly opposes God's commands. Look what God says. Therefore, do not worry about your life. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Satan says, don't pay attention to that. Don't pay attention to that. You just worry all you want to. You worry all you want to. And also, Satan, in dealing with this concept, actually demotes human worth. In verse 26, we found the Lord saying, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And Satan says, why? That's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. You've got to worry about what you're going to get to eat and where you're going to sleep and where you're going to eat. You've got to worry about that. Those are important things. This idea, the birds being fed, that doesn't make any sense. In verse 27, Satan finds this to be futile. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? After these things, the Gentiles seek. Verse 32, your heavenly Father knows that you need it. We understand that God knows what we need. But Satan says, no. He may know what you need, but you've got to get busy and get it yourself. This business of praying and so forth, this is ridiculous. You know, worry is characterized as being like a rocking chair. You know what I mean? Worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but doesn't get you anywhere. That's what worry is. In Mark chapter 16 and verses 3 and 4, it says, they said among themselves, now this is talking about the women who went to the graveside of Jesus, and they were talking amongst themselves, said, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb?" What were they worried about? We don't have anybody to roll away the stone. But when they looked up, they saw the stone had already been rolled away. Now, what were these women worried about? Well, they're worried about something that they couldn't do. They were worried about something that they couldn't accomplish themselves. It was a big stone. But what did they have to worry about? Nothing. Nothing. It was already rolled away for them. So often, that's the way worries are. But worries cause people, and this is what Satan likes, cause people to rely on themselves. In verse 30 of our reading, "God so clothes the grass of the field which is today, tomorrow's thrown into the oven. Will he not clothe you, O you of little faith?" He says, "Now, come on. You can't believe that. You can't believe that. I mean, just practical knowledge shows you you've got to get busy and do something for yourself. You are the master of your own destiny." And so, we worry about it. We worry about it. Did you notice something? And I was noticing this as I was studying this, and you may have noticed it too. The phrase, "O you of little faith," is found four times in this context. In Matthew 6 and 30, "If God so clothes the grass of the field which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Notice the connection directly to anxiety. O you of little faith. But moving over into Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26, we see Jesus saying to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" And he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. What do we find here? This connection of, "O you of little faith," with the great storm on the sea, and the people cried to Jesus, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." And Jesus says, "O you of little faith." Again, in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" You know where that is? That's Peter walking on the water. Oh, Peter started walking on the water, and he was just walking great. Oh, just walking, walking. And as he got out into the ocean or into the sea, he looked around him and he saw the waves and he saw the wind blowing around, and he started thinking about all the things that could happen to him. What did he forget? "O you of little faith." And that's what a lot of us find ourselves right in the middle of. Right in the middle of. We have all of these blessings poured out upon us. All these wonderful blessings that come from the hand of God. And we're busy worrying about this over here, and that over there, and that over there, and that over there, instead of having our focus where it ought to be. We don't want to be categorized as those of little faith. In Matthew 16 and verse 8, Jesus, being aware of what his disciples were thinking, he said, "O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread?" What was the situation? A bunch of people had followed Jesus out into the wilderness. Jesus said, feed them. And the disciples started worrying. They started worrying. Well, we don't have any bread. And how are we going to go get bread? We can't. They were worrying. And he said, oh, you of little faith. One commentator had this remark to make. He says, in reverse order, it's interesting to observe that human reasoning produces doubt. Doubt produces fear, and fear produces anxiety. And Satan knows the way men think. That's just exactly what happens. But we also notice in verse 32 of our text, the heathenistic concept that is brought forward. We notice in verse 32 that this brings people to their former worldly state of mind. Now they're only thinking in physical terms, and they no longer trust in God. And that's the problem of little faith. But looking on at the benefits of worry, we notice that the benefits of worry will indeed cause one to disregard the commandments of God. Over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, what does Paul say there? Be anxious for nothing. Satan says, I don't pay attention to that. That doesn't mean that. It can't possibly mean that. I mean, to be anxious is to be alive. A lot of people think that. If you're not worrying, you're not alive. But that's just not true. Be anxious for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That reminds me of the passage we just read in the introduction of our lesson in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. But benefit of worry, it also deters from our duty as Christians. In Ephesians 5, we have an admonition. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, what does circumspectly imply? Well, it's staying within boundaries. It's staying within boundaries. And we are to walk circumspectly. Not as fools. What do fools do? They go here, they go there, they go here. We don't do that. We walk within boundaries. And we are always buying up the opportunity. That's the definition of redeeming the time. Buying up the opportunity. How do we do this? Well, we realize that the days that we live in are evil. The times that are around us are evil. And we are buying up every opportunity we can to serve our Lord and to do it faithfully in His sight. Satan says, no, you don't need to do that. You've got to be worried about something. Get worried. So he keeps us worried. Now, with this idea in mind about buying up the opportunity, what were you worrying about a year ago? Now, I know that's going to stretch some of your minds. What was I worrying about a year ago? I can't think about it. Well, it must not have been that important if you can't even remember what it was. And when you think about this, what will you be worrying about a year from now? Well, I can't even anticipate that. The point is, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about the past. Don't worry. Take each day as it comes. But there's an aspect of worry
that Satan is quite fond of, and that is that it impairs health. Did you ever stop to think about how many people are literally worrying themselves sick? That's right. They worry themselves sick. They suffer from lack of sleep. They suffer from ulcers, high blood pressure, and on it goes. Some stay up all night long worrying about something. And you know what staying up all night long worrying about it did for it? Nothing. Nothing. Worry is a direct cause of stress in our lives. If you are stressed, you need to ask why. Why am I stressed? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, we're reminded that we are bought at a price. And it is our duty, because of that fact that we are bought at a price, to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. And you can't glorify God in your body and in your spirit when you're worrying all the time. Can't do it. In fact, one of the things that Satan really likes about worry is worry creates a lack of trust. No longer do we trust God. We are always worried about, well, what about this? What about that? What if this or what if that? In James, the first chapter, and verse 5, James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. Now, there's a principle here that we need to consider. Let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Whenever we trust God, we don't doubt that God can fulfill what he promises. Not one bit. There's no doubt. And we pray with that confidence. In Mark 11 and verse 24, Mark says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Whenever you pray in faith. You pray, this is what God has promised me. I pray for this and God will give it to me, according to his will. But Satan says, no, you don't want to do that. It's better to just sit back and worry. Just sit back and worry. The more you worry, the happier Satan gets. But worry can also choke out the word in a Christian's life. You know, in the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, we find the seed that fell among the thorns. Remember about that? And it started to sprout and started to grow. But then it was choked out by all the weeds. Now, what is that talking about? Look at verse 14. The ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they heard, go out and are choked. Now listen carefully. With cares, riches, pleasures of life, and thus bring no fruit to maturity. Worry robs joy
and peace and happiness. All these things that can be a benefit from God's blessings. Interesting point. In a dictionary of word origins, and I like word origins, I like to study it. It has for worry, it says originally meant to strangle. The sense harass physically, as in dogs worrying sheep, emerged in the 16th century via an intermediate seize by the throat. Look at all these terms there. Worry, strangle, harass, seize by the throat. Now, when you're worrying, it's impossible for you to fulfill Philippians 4 and verse 4, because what does it say? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And it also means you can't fulfill 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17, where it says, pray without ceasing, rejoice always. Now, how many have worried about money? How many have worried about money? How many have worried about the future? How many have been concerned about whether we'll survive or not? Yet, think about it. How many have starved to death or froze to death? Worry just robs us of the great things that God has promised us. We sing a hymn, and I didn't want to sing it because I want to talk about the words to it. And it's one of my favorite. It is well with my soul. Turn to number 560, if you will. When peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Is that you? Is that you? Or is that someone else? Think about that. When life's problems come our way and day-to-day things happen, how do we look at them? Do we suddenly have, oh, we've got this to worry about, and oh, what are we going to do about this? And or do we simply say, it is well with my soul? Whatever life throws at you, however high the sea billows may roll, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his blood for my soul. The most important thing of all is the gift of the Son of God for my soul. What do I have to worry about? It all pales. It all pales in the light of that. You know, really, although Satan finds it to be quite advantageous, we really have the upper hand. We can fight back and we can win. In Ephesians chapter 6, 13 through 17, it talks about put on the whole armor of God. that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And it talks about having girded yourself with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having put on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you're able to quench the fiery darts of the devil. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Kind of makes me think of 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You know, in James 4 and verse 7, James says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's just as concise as you can get it. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We need to set our minds, set our hearts on overcoming worry. A little girl was explaining why she was happy today and not happy the other day. She says, today I push my thoughts around, and the other day I let my thoughts push me around. Pretty perceptive for a little girl, I'd say. Abraham Lincoln is quoted as saying, I have been about as happy as I've made up my mind to be. And you know, wealth, possessions, all these things, they don't bring happiness. They don't bring happiness. There is not a minimum amount of things to own before you can stop worrying. No such thing. You know, I mean, really, who says you need these things? Now, if you're blessed with them, that's wonderful. But who says you need them? In Proverbs 4 and verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. This is what's important. Happiness is in our control. Happiness is not internal, but not internally. I'll get it right. Is internally, but not externally influenced. I'm going to get that right in a second. That is, externals can happen all around us, but that doesn't affect the fact that we are happy. We are happy internally. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1, Satan, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan doesn't have a single device at his disposal that we can't figure out. We can look today at his schemes, no longer be ignorant of the devices that he uses and his plan of attack. And in the process, we can form the proper relationship with God. To control worry, we must have the right channels open. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, remember, says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. Now, what does that include? Everything. Everything. And notice this, shall guard
shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is the same word found in 2 Corinthians 11 and 32, where it's talking about guarding a city. That's the idea of that word. Your heart is guarded. Your mind is guarded through Christ Jesus. And notice, it is to be coupled with thanksgiving. You know what? If you're thankful, you won't be wanting and worrying. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, Isaiah says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you." Why? Because he trusts in you. In Psalm 55 and verse 22, "Cast your burden on the Lord. He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." And one other thought for you to consider. Live one day at a time. Now, this doesn't mean neglecting the planning ahead that we do to plan for contingencies and so forth in our lives. But we have to include God in our plans. That's what James chapter 4 and verse 15 was all about. He said, you're not to say, well, tomorrow we'll do this and we'll do that and so forth. He said, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. You know, a fellow said there are 2 days in the week about which I never worry. 2 carefree days. Kept sacredly free from fear and apprehension. One of these is yesterday, and the other day is tomorrow. I think that's pretty wise. That's pretty wise. And of course, we need to engage ourselves in purposeful work. Whenever you're working, you don't have time to worry. Wise man once said that he didn't have time to worry. He was too busy during the day and too sleepy at night. Have you ever been really busy? I mean, just had so many things to do that your mind was busy every minute. There was no downtime whatsoever. Chances are you weren't spending a lot of time worrying then, were you? You weren't really, didn't have the time for it. You know, they say, and I think it's true too, that idle hands are the devil's workshop, and the same thing is true with idle minds. When our minds are not busy with proper thoughts and good thoughts, and purposeful thoughts, they start to gather idle thoughts. And that's where we get into trouble. That's why we need to remember what we talked about a little while ago in our lesson in Matthew 6 and verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What is that saying to us? It's saying that God will take care of us. That God will take care of us. A poem that I ran across, it's not a real long one, but it's quite poignant. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know
why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." Need to think about that. But the only reason we should worry is if we are not Christians. Now that is reason to worry. Because if you're not a Christian, you have no blessings of peace whatsoever. And you have no hope of salvation. And indeed, you should be worried. But you can do something about that. By confessing faith in Jesus, being buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins, you can do something about that. But if you are a Christian and you're allowing Satan to win battles in the area of worry, think about that. You want to be that way? Think about what Satan is gaining from your thoughts every day. Next time you find yourself beginning to worry about things, stop and think about who's getting the advantage. Satan's definitely winning. Be anxious for nothing. That's a lesson we all need to learn.